Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Monday, December 13th. We are 12 days away from Christmas. The 12 days of Christmas. What is it? On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
I don't know.
Desmond Howard in a bitch tree. Oh man, what a weekend!
Yeah,
from warranted going offs. To my guy Pat McAfee blocking me. I don't know what's going on in mainstream media right now. I guess I don't know. Our show doubled, but it's not like we're the top sports show in the world or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're in the top 125 regularly, but I don't know why everyone wants to hate on me so much, or just, you know, whatever. Give us attention. Like, that's the reality, right? Desmond Howard responding to me only gives the show attention. So I'm here for it. Like, I don't know if he thought it was gonna like hurt my feelings. Like, yeah, yes, he called me a wife beater. I don't know. He's like the 1 millionth person to say that. It's funny. I mean, it's kind of hilarious. I did think it was very, I don't want to say irresponsible, but it's like, it's so on brand with ESPN for him to sit here and like, first of all, tweet out that woke clickbait article that was written like, what, 3 years after the fact by some liberal ass woman who wrote an article and without even, you know, attempting to get to do any due diligence into the situation, basically regurgitated what was already spewed out there before. And then for Desmond Howard to tweet it out was like, wow, man, you're full on woke douchebag, huh? I think my favorite part, though, Chris, about it, and I probably shouldn't have started with this, but I probably should have done our housekeeping first. But my favorite part about it was one, it was an absolute bitch move what he did at the Heisman Trophy presentation. But Desmond Howard has had several bitch moves on air. There's two parts to this story, right? One is the guy was an unbelievable college football player, was a great, really good pro football player, was Super Bowl MVP, Heisman Trophy. That is all well and good. And people were throwing that at me like, oh, are you serious? He was a Heisman Trophy winner, Super Bowl MVP. And I'm like, the fuck does that matter in this conversation? Like, yes, he was. I didn't say he wasn't good at football. Like, it's not like I tweeted Desmond Howard sucked at football. Like, what? That would be the dumbest take ever. He was a phenomenal player, but he's a complete tool and a bitch when it comes to sports media, being a personality on air and clearly on Twitter. My favorite part about the whole thing was I called him a bitch because he's done a couple things that led me to believe he's a bitch. So I said he was a bitch because I say what I think. All right. I have no filter. And then he did the most bitch move thing you could do, right? He tweeted, clearly those anger management classes are really helped. First of all, I wasn't even angry when I tweeted it. There was no anger in my tweet. Just because I called him a bitch, that means I'm angry? No, yeah. I just called him a bitch because he is a bitch. Like, that's what he is. He's a bitch. So I said, you're a bitch. That's like, Chris is a man. And I say, hey, man. It's like, whoa, anger management.
Will there, cowboy.
Must not be working. You called him a man. Just wild. Wild that he fit on brand like that. So it's one of those things like, a person's true colors come out, right? I called him a bitch. He could have really dunked on me in a different way, I guess, but he went the woke route.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some
he had a chance to dunk on you, man. And it was, dude, it's so a little bit behind the scenes. So Zach and I usually touch base a couple times each day about certain things, about writing topics, about all that, and social media stuff too. It's us and the intern. And dude, I was in my, you know, someone in at work did something messed up, so I was like working all weekend, and so I catch us like 5 hours late. I see you tweeting some stuff about like this and that, and I'm like, whoa, what the hell? And I see Desmond, I see Desmond Howard, and I'm like, yo, this dude's certified weird. Like he's actually a weirdo. Like there, I mean, I wish I could wake up and be as bad at my job as Desmond Howard is and keep my job.
Because that was part of the problem, right? It wasn't even that he took a shot at Ohio State's offensive line. I mean, I didn't like that, and I'm certainly lean Buckeye. Everyone knows that. Like I'm a biased Buckeye.
Yeah,
to an extent, but it wasn't even that. It's that how is he going to take a shot at the Ohio State O-line when he doesn't even watch film? Not or the worse than that, right? The hopeful thing would be that ESPN has this guy on there that was a Heisman Trophy winner, Super Bowl MVP, like speaks well on camera, and they have him on there and he's just lazy and doesn't watch the film. That's the best case scenario because his takes are horrendous. We know he doesn't study film. I do. I mean, I study the film. I watch it. I know what I'm talking about. For 15 years, I coached the game at a pretty high level. Just because you play the game doesn't mean you know the game. So that's the scary reality that could be true, is that he does kind of watch tape. He's just too fucking dumb to know what he's looking at. And that's very, very possible. And it wouldn't be that uncommon on in the sports media realm.
Exactly.
I mean, he's the new next Lee Corso, and not to take away from the legend Lee Corso, but Desmond Howard is like
He's closer to Booger. I think he's closer to Booger.
He might be closer to Booger. Booger, but yeah, he's not as annoying as Booger, to be honest, even though he's a bitch. Booger's pretty annoying. But just a wild time. And then so that one was warranted. Like I went after him. I mean, because he was a bitch on TV, and that's what I do. Mm-hmm. I call people out when they do shit like that. It's like, damn, that was a bitch move. That's just that's how I've always been, right? And then the one that was shocking to me was my guy, the real coach JB, who came on the show last Thursday. I saw him respond to a tweet, and it said the tweet was no longer available, right? And it was the Pat McAfee tweet. So he was interacting with the Pat McAfee show, and I clicked on it and I couldn't see it. I was like, that's weird. And I went to Pat McAfee's account and they had blocked me, like unannounced, unprovoked. They blocked me. I'm like, what did I do to piss off Pat McAfee now? I don't even, I think I had tweeted something about our handicapping team had a great day when he said they lost all three of their bets. I was like, damn, that sucks. Like our handicapping team killed it today. I was just normal interaction, I thought, yeah, but
it's Twitter.
He blocked me, and then a bunch of people showed me that he is like a big Urban Meyer hater. Mm-hmm. Urban Meyer made fun of him for going on game day, I think, and jumping in a river. I don't know what it was. I didn't know about it then. I still don't really know about it now, but I don't know how that applies to me. Like I'm not an Urban Meyer like super fan, that's for sure. Anyways, we got really off topic before I started the show, but it's just the first thing that came to mind. So a couple of things to get out of the way now that we are through that situation. We'll probably talk about it again.
We're circling back.
We'll circle back to it. But one, Squares for Charity, the Zone 6 Fund, benefiting the youth athletes in Columbus, the city of Columbus. We only have, I think, 5 squares left. And we have 17 days until the bowl games. Mm-hmm. So we have 5 left. If you want to get them, get in now. I'm also thinking about doing a big payday one for the national championship game only. So it'll be for the national championship game or the Buckeye game. I haven't decided yet. Where it'll be $100 a square, and if you hit the final score, you win $3,000. Obviously very low odds, but you can take a swing at $3,000. And then obviously I don't have the math in front of me. Either way, it'll be $3,000 if you win it. A couple $100 on a first quarter, third quarter, and maybe $1,000 on the halftime. So thinking about doing that. Also want to thank everybody who came out on Friday. 3 o'clock to our Twitter spaces. It was awesome. I mean, there was a few hundred people in there. And we'd love to make it even bigger, even better. I think it's going to be a consistent thing Friday afternoons. Every 3 o'clock every Friday, about 3 to 4. Go ahead and jump in there on Twitter, and we'll have a link out every Friday morning. So Friday, 3 o'clock on Twitter spaces. That was live, man. It was
lit. So and we'll get to as many questions as we possibly can. So, I mean, leave a review on the show, 5 stars, and ask a question, and we'll try to address it during the mailbag edition of Friday's show. And then come hang out with us. I mean, we just want it to be like a bunch of us, like, you know, sitting out somewhere at a cookout at a bar, at a tailgate, whatever, just kind of answering questions. Because honestly, like, me and Zach sit down every day and we, you know, soak our lives in all things football when we're not doing stuff with our families. So we just want to hang out with you guys. And it was an absolute blast. We got to answer a lot of questions, and we're looking forward to, you know, making your Friday even better every single week. So
yeah, it was great. It was a great time. Also, our merch giveaway, we're going to announce a winner at noon today on Twitter. So make sure you follow at Menace to Sports and turn the little bell so you get tweet notifications. We will announce at least one winner, might do 2 winners today. And we're going to keep that going. I mean, consistently, probably every week we'll announce a couple winners. So leave a review, 5 stars. You might get picked and get a t-shirt, a hoodie, a hat, whatever I feel like giving away that day, honestly. So I haven't even looked at what I will give away today. Probably going to do t-shirt first round is pretty, I guess, standard. So we got that going. Leave us a review on Apple. And then I got a parlay, Chris. My bookie, promo code Menace. You get a deposit match. Go on there, lock it in. I'm playing my Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray to get the dub tonight in Monday Night Football. And then you got to ride the hot hand, man. I'm riding the Cavs money line. I think they're 4 or 5 point favorite, but I'm taking the money line just to be safe. Cavs money line, Cardinals, NFL winners tonight in the Monday Night Football game. Lock that parlay in now with your free money with promo code Menace. Boom. All right. Now, first of all, Bryce Young won the Heisman. Obviously, everyone knew that was going to happen.
No highlights from that, though, on anyone's radar. No video highlights of that came out because somebody stole it off for themselves. But we're going to focus on Bryce Young to start.
Yeah, let's focus on the player instead of, you know, Desmond Howard stealing the light of a number of kids' moments, right? Mm-hmm. Taking a shot at C.J. Stroud, taking a shot at offensive linemen that weren't even there, and to try to promote Michigan. I don't really know, but it's not really it wasn't his stage to do that, and it wasn't the appropriate stage to do that. That's why it's a bitch move by a bitch. But Bryce Young wins the Heisman. That's what the conversation should have been. Magnificent year for a phenomenal player.
Baller.
And he locked that Heisman up in the, I guess, rout of Georgia and their vaunted defense. Really single-handedly, I guess J-Mo had a lot to do with it. But Bryce Young deserved to win it. Now, the one thing that just is hilarious, and sometimes these kids just like, oh, Christ, shut up. Don't – why? Bryce Young said he's kind of been doubted his whole life. It's like, bro. Yeah, I mean, you're a five-star high school recruit, a five-star that went to Alabama. Alabama selected him as the best quarterback in the country, the number one overall player in his class on 247. Yeah, they've really been doubting you, bro. They've been holding you back. Nobody believed in you except for everyone in the country that said you were the best player in your class, the five stars and Alabama who gave you a full ride scholarship. And the other probably 80 schools that offered you. But everybody kind of doubted you your whole life. Yeah. Right, Bryce?
Preseason Heisman odds were up there before he ever made a start. But, it's cool. It's cool. Zach, I kind of like it. You know, nobody ever doubted Bryce Young. Well, maybe some sixth grade coach thought he was overrated. So what? I didn't ever doubt Bryce Young. I think he's a super talented player. He's a baller, obviously. But, you know,
and I am the biggest doubter in the world of athletes usually. But my doubt for Bryce Young was only like, I doubt that anyone knows how he's going to react to games because he hasn't played in them yet. Right. Like, I'm from the school of thought that you got to show me, like, you got to go out there and do it and show me. I mean, preseason odds, it's like Spencer Rattler was going to be the number one overall pick. I'm like, OK, let's fucking hold our horses here. I want to see him actually play a full season and be a dominant quarterback because he didn't ever do that. And same thing for Bryce Young. I want to see it. Like, I know I've heard he's talented. I watched some highlights, which don't tell me shit. I need to see how he's going to play against, you know, top tier SEC talent. And guess what? He played phenomenal, but you didn't know he was going to do that preseason. Nobody did. Nick Saban didn't. They obviously had an inkling that he would be good, but it's just absurd
But I love it, Zach. Like this dude, I mean, in today's, you know, era of college football and the portal, and we're going to get into that a little bit later, everyone is looking for validation from something and looking to be given that before maybe doing too much, which is why I think the transfer portal is becoming an increasing problem currently. Bryce Young kind of made up these, you know, phantom haters in his head, this phantom chip on his shoulder. And it's very, dare I say, like when you talk about MJ era players, guys like MJ would make up these stories and about these people to give himself the extra, you know, added edge and extra edge on his shoulders. I kind of like this from Bryce Young. Like, I like the phantom chip on his shoulder. I think he went out there and he balled and he did whatever it took. And if he needs that phantom chip on his shoulder, you know what? So be it. I found it as a really refreshing kind of take if he actually believes it from what kind of we've seen around the landscape of college football. But hell, I like it. Have the phantom chip. You know, be a gangster. Play with a little bit extra swagger. Be a baller. You know, you say they doubted you. I don't know who, but make them up and go play. I like it, Zach. You know,
it's definitely a good thing. I don't think he needs to be like spouting that in an interview though, because
he's
it's like
kid trying to learn to be famous, but
that's just makes you look kind of like a phony, but I get it entirely. Like, you're right. That's that Michael Jordan mentality. Michael Thomas was the same way. I mean, I think I've told the story before. One of the only people I think I like at ESPN is Kirk Herbstreit, and Mike Thomas had this, I mean, created this monster, like, I don't want to say anger, but just like he was so pissed off at Kirk Herbstreit for basically no reason. I mean, Kirk Herbstreit put out his preseason Herbie Awards, right? Like the best DB in the country, whatever. It's kind of like a postseason awards, but he doesn't preseason. And he the only thing that he really did was he put Kendall Fuller, the corner for Virginia Tech, on, as a Herbie Award for the best corner in the country. I don't know how that's disrespectful to Michael Thomas. It's not really. But I mean, I sure built it up a little bit in our meeting room. And Mike, when we played Virginia Tech in 2015, I mean, he had such a hatred for Kendall Fuller because he had this Herbie Award. And after the game, he tagged Kirk Herbstreit and was like, said, hashtag shh. And Herbstreit even reached out to me like, help me out here. What's he talking about? And so I explained the whole situation to Kirk. And he was like, man, I don't get it. Like, I'm a Buckeye. Like, I love Mike. I thought he had played an outstanding game. I don't know. And I was like, yeah, you just got to leave Mike alone on this one. Like, he just created this hatred for Herbstreit for no reason.
And then like Kirk said, Mike was born.
Yeah, it's not like Kirk said some other receiver was better than Mike or even talked about receivers. He said Kendall Fuller had his Herbie Award for best corner in the country. And Mike got pissed. So I get it. Some of these athletes create these demons to battle. To kind of give him an edge and give him a chip. And it's great. I mean, Mike played phenomenal because of that. And he still does it. I mean, even after he was got the contract for the highest paid receiver, you know, ever, he still was tweeting stuff like about people doubting him and the haters. It's like, bro, you just made like $100 million. Like, no one is doubting you right now. Like, if anything, you know, now in hindsight, people might be doubting him, but at the time that he signed it, no one was doubting him.
Right. Like, he led the league in receiving yards, and even if he took away his favorite route, which was the slant, I mean, he still led the league in receiving yards. Nobody doubted him. But it just feels like such a change of pace. I don't love Bryce Young saying it, obviously, but he's a kid still learning how to be quote unquote famous.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was a big deal, but it's just so funny.
It's funny, like, yeah, it's super funny because nobody doubted you, man. No, I mean,
and even if somebody did, like, it was what 0.01%. But yeah, the whole Heisman scene was a little unfortunate. I thought Aiden Hutchinson was everything he said was what you saw in film, right? Like, they made a decision to come back, to return to Michigan, to beat Ohio State, win a Big Ten championship, and hopefully make the playoffs. And they played like that. Their team did. They played with a mentality, and they won, obviously, the rivalry game, won the Big Ten, and now they're in the playoffs. So you got to respect when someone does something like that and respect the year that he had. And my goodness. Mama Hutchinson was, whew, yikes. You talk about fire.
Sheesh.
Anyways, moving on. So yeah, it was, you know, sucks Desmond Howard decided to overshadow all of that with his comments, because that's all you saw on social media afterwards.
Right. He stole a moment. And like I said before, like, I wish I could go out into the world and be as bad at my job as he is at his job and continue to get paid and continue to get time. Because, I mean, quite frankly, I mean, he that's a guy that gets up there and lets his bias get the best of him, like, at all times. He refuses to ever pick Ohio State. He never wants to give anybody credit. He never, you know, never wants to see things for how they are. He doesn't want to watch tape. He gets up there and just makes a mockery of a position that a lot of people would want. And it's not that I you know, dislike Michigan. It's more, I mean, Charles Woodson isn't like that. Like, Charles Woodson goes up there and does a good job, and is not ignorant, doesn't steal shine. I mean, Desmond Howard is a grown-ass man making a moment about him and his alma mater is actually lame as fuck. Like, it's just...
Yeah, no way. I mean, it's a bitch mode. I mean, cue Ludacris, use a hoe. Because use a hoe. I mean, you just... It is. And it is absolutely unfortunate because you watch all the time. Brady Quinn, Reggie Bush, Charles Woodson, Kirk Herbstreit. Like, Kirk Herbstreit gets a ton of shit from Buckeye fans because he's honest. It's like, well, I mean, we probably need to push time out and cut Kirk some slack. Otherwise, he would be like Desmond Howard. And people outside of Ohio State base would fucking hate him. But they don't, because he's honest and he does a good job.
He has class.
Yeah, and he has class for sure. So whatever. And, you know, and it's. I mean, you look at the bigger picture of things, and it really is. It's about branding, right? That's somebody who capitalized on their on-field success and now has a really badass job and probably gets paid pretty decent solely because of what he did on the field. I mean, he's not getting paid that because he's likable or provides any value other than he's kind of like the clown at a party, right? Like everyone looks at him, he's dancing around, it's funny, and it's like, at the end of the day, like, that clown doesn't have any value. It's just like a fucking... It's like a spectacle, an obstacle, like something to look at, right?
Yeah, I mean that's literally what he is. He's the class clown. He's whack as shit. I mean, he's what a combined like 3 for 33 when picking Ohio State games. I mean, he's fucking terrible. And you know, show no class up there. That's just it, dog. But staying on Michigan, Zach, this was a question brought up when I was talking with Corey and Johnny in one of their spaces they were doing. They were asking about this kind of Michigan momentum moving forward. Does this game, does the loss to Michigan, does this feel like a blip on your radar, or is this more of like we could be approaching like a real rivalry where we trade blows back and forth with Michigan?
Well, it definitely re-energized the rivalry. That's the first and foremost part. But for this to be a 10-year war, a couple things need to happen. Jim Harbaugh and his staff need to take the momentum from this huge win, this playoff appearance, this Big Ten championship. Like, this is a huge opportunity they have to parlay this into recruiting success. But then you need to see Michigan start being in the top three in recruiting classes. Like, there's no reason that in this next class that they shouldn't be a top two or three recruiting class, right? With all this momentum and everything they have going, because the reality still remains Ohio State is a more talented program top to bottom right now. Mm-hmm. And that Michigan team was very, very veteran. Like, they were an older squad, right? They had older players, more experienced players, and Ohio State's the youngest Ohio State team in like 20 years. Yeah. So this was the
youngest average age of players ever in terms of who started.
Well, and so this is the opportunity that Michigan needed, right? They needed this younger Ohio State team to match up against I'm not taking anything away from Michigan, extremely talented, extremely good football team, but they're a bunch of vets, right? And so now next year they won't be. And these young cats at Ohio State will be a year older. And now it's going to be like, all right, can Michigan replicate that success? Now, it's about quick development. What Ohio State's done, what Alabama does, right, is Bryce Young is this good, right, as a redshirt freshman. He's this good because they quick developed him, right? It's it's not that they needed a bunch of fifth-year seniors at Alabama to be as good as they are. It's that they develop young talent and extremely, you know, extremely talented young kids. They develop them quickly. Like, they develop them better than anyone. Right. And that is what Alabama does so well. And that's what Michigan needs to show us they can do. If they can do that, it absolutely may become a 10-year war. If they cannot do that, this is going to be the perfect storm prime opportunity that Michigan took advantage of with a young quarterback, with, you know, an awful defensive staff. You know, they had so many things that worked in their favor that weren't their own doing. Right. Is Ohio State's defense was horrendously coached. They were a very young team. That's stuff that Michigan didn't do. Now, what they did do is they developed their players, right? Aiden Hutchinson was a monster. They dominated Ohio State offensively, running the football, right? Hassan Haskins was great. Blake Corum was great. So that's the stuff they handled. But I think it was a perfect storm. And outside of that storm, once that storm passes, right, and it is you are on the other side of it, will they be the same animal? Because if they're not, it won't be a 10-year war. It'll just be that a moment for Ohio State to use for the next decade.
So right now, bringing up recruiting rankings, right now Ohio State is fourth in the country, and they have only 18 commits. And right now Michigan is ninth in the country, and they have 20 commits, 12 of which are three-star kids, 7 4-star, 1 5-star. And the year before, Michigan was ranked 13th and Ohio State was ranked 2. So there's going to be still that talent gap. Michigan is more, they're just one ahead of a team like Missouri when they have 4 more commits. So just kind of that kind of thing. I just think there's too big of a talent gap. That's why I have it as a blip on the radar right now. They just have to recruit better.
There's an entirely new dynamic in college football where you can't just rely on recruiting rankings anymore to validate the talent on a roster, right? There is a transfer portal. Like that last year's class for Ohio State that was second in the country included Quinn Ewers, included, I believe, Ryan Watts, right?
Ryan Watts may have been
he redshirted, right? Either way, it doesn't matter. My point is the transfer portal changes every dynamic, right? Because right now Quinn Ewers is at Texas. So it doesn't matter what Texas class was ranked last year. You have to add Quinn Ewers to it, and you have to subtract who's leaving. You look at Auburn's football team. If you just look at recruiting rankings, you don't even know that Bo Nix and Tank Bigsby both are gone. They're two best players on offense. Like, just – and I don't know. I hesitate to say Bo Nix is one of the best players on offense. Well, no, the two most notable names on offense. How about that? So it's a whole different world. Like, can Jim Harbaugh navigate the portal? Because let me tell you what. players that didn't win this year or haven't won for a couple years that are great players that want to jump in that portal, they're going to look at what Michigan did and say, damn, that looks like fun. That's what I want to be a part of. Like badass, kicking people's ass, taking names. Like, that's what I want to be a part of. So if Jim Harbaugh can capitalize in the portal, then they could keep this momentum going for, you know, year in, year out. And that could become a 10-year war for sure.
And you'll keep an experienced roster. The one thing Michigan can't afford to do is trot out a young roster, given the fact that, unlike Ohio State, they don't recruit at that high of a level, like at among the elite of the elites. So you don't get to trot out like five-star after five-star. I mean, Michigan usually averages about 1 5-star per class, and then they usually double the amount of 3-stars that Ohio State has. So if they trot out a young team, something has gone drastically wrong, which is why, you know, seeing a Michigan team lose 3 or 4 games isn't out of the realm given the roster turnover. So they do need to manage the portal really well, and a game like that, you know, helps them a lot. But right now, I'm not ready to say this will be a 10-year war. I think this is a blip on the radar. And curious to see what Michigan does moving forward. But like you said, it was the perfect storm, you know, young team versus older team, you know, a poorly coached team. And now, I mean, Ohio State, Ohio State doesn't get to be like Michigan. Like, once you lose to your rival, drastic change happens. And it doesn't take 4 or 5 years to take the rivalry seriously. It doesn't take 4 or 5 years for the tone to change. It becomes very real, very, very quickly, because being the head football coach at Ohio State relies on beating Michigan. That's kind of one of the things. You can't lose to Michigan and expect to have a safe job or anything. So, I think it's really interesting. I'm curious to see how this new landscape of college football impacts teams like Michigan, who primarily, you know, thrive when they have veteran teams. And this, I mean, just looking at recruiting and the transfer portal, you know, moving forward, it looks like kind of a quarter of every single class. Be prepared for it. Or is going to hit the portal if you're the elite of the elite. Like, Ohio State is going to have more in the portal this year, probably another running back, and probably someone else. I mean, you're looking for, like, guys are going to transfer out at an extreme, extreme rate, and it's going to, you know, create it's going to close talent gaps a lot of times, because the elite of the elite teams won't be as deep because guys will just transfer. So I don't think it'll be a 10-year war, but we are trending a unique direction with the transfer portal.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. And it's just it's a whole different dynamic. That's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. Texas A&M, I do want to talk about them, because I was looking at recruiting stuff and kind of the blueprint and the transfer portal and kind of what's going on in college football. Zach, they are in position for the 2022 class to get 5 of the top 8 players per 247. Could this Texas A&M team moving forward be the actual challenger to Alabama?
I mean, that's certainly what that's what it looks like if you look at recruiting trends, right? I mean, I think what Jimbo's done there is what he did at Florida State, which was he has an excellent system, an excellent program, and he recruits extremely well. And Texas A&M has a big old budget for him. They really do. And I know the one kid, Shamar Stewart, who's trending that direction, who's probably going to commit there. I know his high school coach really well. And he was like, Zach, you have no idea. Texas A&M's just – the NIL stuff is a real deal, Holyfield. And I think they could become a contender to Alabama. I mean, they kind of are already, right?
Yeah, they beat them this year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. But, you know, beating Alabama is not contending with Alabama entirely. You have to win right. The SEC West. That's when you contend with Alabama. Like, when LSU won the West, you're like, ooh, if they can do this somewhat consistently now, this will be a battle. But then they fell off, right? Texas A&M beating Alabama once or twice is not contending with them. You beat them on that Saturday, but you got to consistently win in conference so that you end up in Atlanta and Alabama's ass is at home. Then you're contending with them, right? And I think for Texas A&M and Jimbo to do that, you saw when he was successful at Florida State, he had Jameis Winston. He had elite quarterback play. So this kid, Zach Calzada, is not it, in my opinion. I know they have a 5-star kid committed now who I know nothing about, that Texas kid, quarterback. Mm-hmm. It's all going to be quarterback play. Can they get the quarterback play within his system to take it to that level? And yeah. I mean, the SEC is going to be hard to go undefeated year in, year out. It's a rarity that it ever happens. So they just need to try to figure out a way to get to Atlanta. If they get to Atlanta, Bama's at home. They do it once or twice, you know, twice. Then you're saying, all right, they did it twice. This is a real deal. Now they're contending.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they have the number one D lineman, the number two wide receiver, and then the number four D lineman all committed, and they're probably going to get two and three in there as well. And then Connor Wegman is the kid from Texas. He's a quarterback. He's a five-star number two quarterback in the country. I just think it's really interesting. They're doing really well. They've obviously capitalized on the NIL stuff. And, I, you know, it's funny because I thought it would be Texas and not Texas A&M really thriving off the NIL stuff. But it's so far it's been A&M. You know, Quinn Ewers yet to be seen. I do want to shift to one more thing. Something kind of we got a good laugh about. Brian Kelly, man. Talk to me, Zach.
Bro, I mean, it's the most cringeworthy. Like, I mean, it was embarrassing. The video they put out with the kid, the quarterback they have committed, who's a Louisiana kid, been committed there. Brian Kelly didn't get him. He just, I guess, met him. And they put out a video, and Brian Kelly's dancing is just awful. I mean,
doing the Louisiana shuffle.
I mean, it was so bad. I mean, I can't even tell you. Like, I'm sitting here, like, trying to put. I'm still speechless about it. Like, why in God's name he would think? Well, one, why are you dancing like that, man? Mm-hmm. Like, come on.
Got the pistol. You give
a stiff white guy's a bad name, a bad look. God, it was bad. Two. So that's one. Why? Why are you dancing like that? Can you go take a dance class with your wife or something? Do something, because that was stiff white guy times a thousand. Mm-hmm. And two, what? Who told you? Like, what
created?
Who in your creative? You should fire your whole creativity team. Fire your whole social media team. Who looked at that and said, "This will be great for recruiting. We're gonna put this video out, coach, and you really look good in it." Like, who in the hell? What is wrong with these people?
It's bad, Zach. I love Lane Kiffin coming out and trolling him with the Smokey meme. Like, what?
He said, damn.
What?
Well, Lane Kiffin gets it. He is the opposite of the stiff white guy. Mm-hmm. But Brian Kelly.
Lane Kiffin's driving around kids in the Porsches and showing them around town.
I saw he had Ferraris in a garage or something the other
day. Yeah, he bought that brand new Porsche. That's what he picks up recruits in when he takes them off takes them around. But we got him, then we got Brian Kelly talking about family, and then doing that Louisiana shuffle. You know, the way he looked back at the quarterback too, Zach, I just like, what are we doing?
It was awful.
There's no way.
Like, it's just one of those things. Urban used to talk about it all the time. Don't be a stiff white guy, right? You're just horrible in recruiting. And it's really a category, being a stiff white guy. It's not actually being a white guy and being stiff. It is just a category. Like, that guy that you can't relate. You're cringeworthy is the best word for it. And that video was that. It was cringeworthy and really bad. But, like, there is guys that are kind of stiff white guys, you know, can't dance, aren't submersed in the hip hop culture, or understand the music, or don't like the music. Like, Luke Fickle's one of those guys, right? Like, he's not a fan of hip hop. He is the whitest of white guys ever. But when he's done some things, like some TikTok things, like, he doesn't look like a complete douche, right? Like, you could tell he's an athlete. Like, he's not. And it's not cringeworthy. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know if there's a class you can take
something
to be
about
less,
the movement, something
less stiff and less like yeehaw. I don't know. Like, an anti-yeehaw pill. Maybe they have an anecdote for the yeehaw. I don't know. But if they have it, man, Brian Kelly needs more shots than COVID people. It's bad. It's really bad for old BK. And I told you when he got the job, this is a different animal down there now. And that was really funny for that quarterback. But now you got to go recruit some other players that are going to look at that and go, man, what the fuck? Who is this dude?
Well, now he's got to recruit some players that their dream school isn't LSU. I mean, that's what that was. That quarterback wasn't decommitting no matter what. That's an LSU kid just through and through. So, I mean, Brian Kelly, he's got to – it's just like, if you know that's not you, why even try to do it? Like, there's nothing wrong with being a stiff white guy, but don't be a stiff white guy trying to dance and trying not to be a stiff white guy. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like,
bad deal.
We just gotta know better.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Well, I think that that'll wrap it up. I do want to say
that'll wrap it up.
That I will tell you this much in closing. I appreciate the people that want to go to bat for me on Twitter when shit like this happens, but you need to understand one thing and one thing only. This shit doesn't bother me at all. Like, when people want to tweet out stuff from my ex-wife, tweet out nonsense that she said, tweet out articles that she has found people to write, like, it doesn't bother me at all. It only brings attention to this platform, which is what I want. So when Desmond Howard's dumbass goes off and tweets all this shit about me, he thinks he like buried me, put me in a body bag. And his dumb motherfucking ass doesn't realize that he only helped promote this platform, which I'm using to grow it, right? And to do things for charity and do the things I want to do. So I appreciate you guys that kind of bite back at people who for spreading misinformation and doing all this bullshit, but it doesn't bother me. You don't need to do that. I appreciate it. I sometimes see it, but you don't have to do that because Desmond Howard is a bitch. That's what he is. And he just proved it even more so. He'll always be a bitch. His mama made him a bitch. He'll never not be a bitch. There's no changing that. You can't fix a bitch. Once somebody's a bitch, they're a bitch for life. Like you suck one dick, you're a cocksucker. He is a bitch for life. He will always be one. So we don't need to worry about it. We can put it to bed and we'll move on and go about our merry ways, right? And let him keep looking like a clown, like a jester on game day every week. That's what we'll do. So enough about that. Enough about that. We're done with it. So we appreciate y'all coming in, tuning in. We got a morning show tomorrow, then the main show Tuesday. At some point, I got to cut it back to one time a week once kind of football slows down, but not the morning show. We'll do the morning show every morning. So appreciate y'all. Menace out.
Menace out.